Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Just took a peek outside, and it's a little overcast, but we're used to that. But I was thinking of my dad, who's no longer with us. I was fortunate to spend the last 5 years with him living here in Port Orchard, and I got to rebuild a relationship with him, and that's always good for memory. But it didn't matter what the day was outside or how bad he felt in his last years. When you'd say, "Good morning, Dad, how are you?" He said, "I'm awake, alert, and enthusiastic."
There you go.
And that was his daily greeting. So I hope today you are awake, alert, and enthusiastic, because we have a lot of material to cover. This is the day of our Stock Market Update Workshop, and if you have not signed up, you are in luck, because there is still time to do it. All you have to do is go to IRIradio.com. Lower left-hand corner, it says Stock Market Update Webinar. Click on that, couple of clicks in your email, and you will have a link to join us. And if you cannot stay after the show, we will send you a replay link. So when you can't find anything on TV that's worth watching, you will have this as a backup plan and learn something new about the market and about how we trade in our client portfolios, how we deal with massive down days that occurred last week. Those down days were driven by what some investors found to be shocking conditions in the market, particularly with GameStop.
Yep.
And there are stories all over the place about what was happening, that it was just the revenge of the nerds getting even.
We're going to put it to the big guy here.
But actually, there were a lot of big guys who said, "Hey, look at this. Let's get in the game." And they did. So while we're going to cover some of the big names that lost big money, on the other side of that, there were some really big names who booked a lot of gains right along with the nerds who were in the game. If you're not familiar with GameStop, I keep getting it wrong because it's never been I've never been in one of their stores.
You've never been there, huh, Don? Yeah.
But basically, it's a borderline bankrupt video game retailer that sells game consoles and games in that antiquated format of brick-and-mortar stores. You know, there's one down on the road into the Tacoma Mall. I mean, I see it every time I go by, but I've never stopped to go in because it's not my gig. Anyway, the company's business has been growing, but it's been unprofitable since 2018, with more than $1 billion of debt and a market cap that was just $600 million.
Yeah, they were not on a good trajectory, and they were going to have to make substantial changes to their business model to continue on as a going firm.
So a lot of the big hedge funds actually do part of this as their hedge. They invest in some things that they think are going to appreciate, and then they sell short, investing in things that they think are going to go bankrupt because they can sell the stock high and buy it low. They just do the buy low, sell high in reverse order. And there's nothing illegal about that.
No, that's fine. It's a risky proposition, but there's nothing illegal about it. Yeah.
So people, when you say I'm going to sell short, most people, you know, it's kind of, their eyes glaze over. You know, what is that? Well, basically, simplifying this thing, an investor borrows shares from a broker because you can't sell something you don't have. So you go to your broker and you say, "I want to sell short GameStop," and they loan you shares from somebody else who holds it in the custodial firm. You then sell it in the open market, and you get money because you just, you know, you're selling the stock. The company stock falls, that's the theory, and then you buy back the shares, and the difference is your profit, and then you give the shares back to your broker who puts them back in the account where they belong. Now, one of the problems here is the brokers are looking at this and saying, this company is going to go bankrupt. You want to borrow more shares? I mean, I'll loan you some shares that I don't have. I'm just going to make a journal entry in my books. And this is actually illegal.
That part's illegal. Yeah, that's called a naked short. That's a shorting a stock without any shares. And that's something that should not be happening.
Just keep in mind what's going to happen if you run down the street naked. You know, that's not legal either. And that's kind of what's happening. And the brokers, I don't know, maybe they just weren't keeping track. But they were allowing people to borrow 40% more shares than actually existed. That became a problem. And then some young, I don't know how young they were, but the nerds who were on Reddit, which I've never been on, but I do have copies of some of the postings there, they're saying, we can get even with these guys. They're gamers. They don't want GameStop to go away. They're gamers. They say, look at all the shorts. We can buy that stuff, and if we get enough of us together, we can buy enough shares that we can put a squeeze on those big fat guys on Wall Street, and that's exactly what they did. And a lot of it was, we're going to get even because of what the system has done to my family in the last downturn. And I'm not going to read these to you, but there's a lot of them there that are just basically, I don't have any opportunity. I'm out of school. I can't get a job. I'm supposed to live on a government handout. That's not what I thought this was about. And here's an opportunity to make some money. One person took his government handout from earlier in the year, payroll support, and he just put it in, bought game stock, turned it into $30,000.
Thank you. Yeah.
And then basically said on Reddit, I'm just going to put it back in. If I don't win anything, I lose it all. I don't care about money, but I'm not going to give it to the man. I'm not going to give it to the man. I am going to continue to play this and see if we can put a bigger squeeze on those guys on Wall Street who did not treat my family fairly when they had an opportunity to do things differently. They bailed out the guys that caused the problem the last time. I'm going to get even. And that's the revenge of the nerds. And it really did push GameStop around. And it wasn't the only stock. There were a lot of others that they got caught up in the same process. And so we had some renewed volatility this past month, which added a lot of excitement for anybody paying attention to the market. If you want to talk to us today, we do have an open phone line, 888-312-5757. However, you should register for our webinar right after the it's right after the show today. We start at 9:15, and I think we will be done by 10 o'clock without any problem today. We kind of shortened the number of slides we're going to run through dealing with the market. But you are going to find out what's going on. You're going to find out how we handled this big volatility in this past week. And there's still time for Q&A. We always leave time for your questions. So if you want to register, go to IRIradio.com. Lower left-hand corner is the webinar link. Click a couple of clicks in your email, and you are set either to participate today or get a replay link to watch it on your own time.
There you go. And Don, I think it's important to remember for everyone out there that this wasn't just a GameStop incident. Like I said, there were more stocks out there, and the thing is, it's not going to stop right now. There's a lot of those hedge funds out there, whether they made a lot of money or lost a lot of money, they now say, okay, before we go long or short anything, especially if it's a low volume, you know, low value security, they're going to be looking at Reddit. They're going to look online, and they're going to look in social media. They're going to look at the Twitter financial feeds and see if this is in play with all of those retail brokers, retail investors, because there's enough of them now that they can push around the stock. So it's something they have to watch now. And so should you, if that's part of the way that you trade, because those people aren't going away. That's going to continue for now, and it's going to keep volatility, higher than it was, and it's something that needs to be paid attention to.
I wonder if there's going to be a new addition to Finance 101, chapter in the book on Reddit.
So it won't just be Reddit either. It'll be social media, and it's like, okay, look, we talked about it a few weeks ago that there are days that retail traders are making up, small retail traders are making up 25% of the volume on the New York Stock Exchange. So that's more than enough to move things, especially in a concentrated effort. And that's the thing that changed. It's not just that they're all out there trading. They're all out there trading together. They're all agreeing to do something. And that used to happen at the big end, at the hedge fund side. They used to have idea dinners, they called them. You're in Manhattan and, a few hedge fund guys get together and talk about, hey, what's your best idea? They would all group together and do that. Well, now it's happening on the other end also. So,
and they don't like it.
They don't like it at all. No, they don't like it at all. So it's going to be interesting to see how that washes out. But in the meantime, that volatility that's pushing around the market, it's not going to change. So many people have opened brokerage accounts that never had one before, and they're having a good time. So I don't think they're going to leave the party anytime soon.
Well, and the regulators, however, are, because of the complaints from the hedge funds, are looking at, is there some way we can regulate this activity? Protect our friends on Wall Street. The issue with a market finding fair price for a stock is that it's open for discovery. Whoever wants to enter into the arena should be allowed to play, as long as they aren't doing anything illegal.
Sure. We say it all the time. It's an auction market. Anybody can bid on those prices. So you can't say, well, you can bid, but this other group, well, you can't bid. So that's the problem. We do have relatively free markets here in the United States still, and everyone's just exercising their right to do that. And it's in a new way. So we'll see what happens.
Looks like we should just take our break before we move on to our next subject.
Very good.
Remind them, everybody, of our webinar.
You got it. Today, this morning, we have our monthly market update. Let you know kind of what's going on out there. We're going to walk through, a lot of things that happened last week, so you can see what we see when things like that go on, the volatility that kicks in, how we handle that, what we do to mitigate that for our clients. If you'd like to register for that this morning, just go to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Head to the webinar page. Give it a click. You will get an email right back with a link in it. And after the show, you click on that and you will be live online. You'll be able to see what we're looking at, look at our charts, and we'll walk through, where the markets are right now. We'll go through some education on what we do with portfolios. And then, as Don said, we'll have plenty of time for your questions. So if you have questions about the market or the economy or specific securities are fine, give us a ticker. We'll give you a second opinion on whether what we think about what it is, whether you've held it too long or want to add it to your portfolio. We'll be happy to get to that. You can register for that at iriradio.com. If you have questions for us this morning, feel free to give us a call. 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money.
Yeah, well, even on Wall Street, there are people who should be listening to this song, Kenny Rogers. But there is a time to fold, walk away from the game, and you can't count your blessings or your money until you're off the table. That is just the way the system works. And a lot of big hedge funds, man, that was an expensive lesson for them.
They did learn a new lesson. The other thing that the hedge funds have said is that they're going to stop having talking about what they're shorting. They don't want the rest of the world knowing their big short positions. So those they used to put videos out about, here's what we're shorting, let's all get together, because they were going to get other people to short it with it, or the people that own the stock to sell it. So it becomes a self-fulfilling fulfilling feedback loop. And now they're saying, hey, we're just going to be quiet. So that's much more like most investors operate anyway. So hopefully it'll work out for them.
Yeah. We have a call from Gene. We haven't heard from Gene in North Carolina in many months. So happy New Year, Gene.
Happy New Year to you, Don and Perry. Thanks for taking my call. I had a ticker symbol for you today, HYMB. It's a high-yield muni ETF. Holds high-yield municipal bonds.
So I haven't looked at I haven't looked at the internals on that, so I can't give you a comment on that. But I have looked up on two different softwares the charts on it, and our Chaikin software does some analysis to the portfolio. So just simply relying on their work, they show it's in a strong trend. I look at our normal software; it's in a strong trend, and there's not much we can say here. The only risk is that if interest rates rise, bond values fall.
So if you see the 3-month chart for it, it steadily has risen since the election in the beginning of November, risen about over 6%. And I just wanted to get your opinion, I think, on the reasons why. I think that after the election, that the in isolation, the chance of these muni bonds being more risky went down because part of the fiscal stimulus that they anticipated that would happen, that's happening now, I think is going to bail them out. And also that I think some of these states and local governments are thinking about getting into online gambling as a different source of revenue. And it also contains, I think, part of the top 10 holdings are some Puerto Rican bonds. And so this talk about possible Puerto Rican statehood might bail them out as well. That's the reasons why these underlying bonds are less risky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you've thought this through. That's all. Those are all valid assumptions about why this would be rising. However, the Puerto Rican bonds, it depends on when they were acquired, because Puerto Rico is bankrupt, and the assumption here is if the Democrats decide to make it a state, then the federal government is going to cover all that, which means you and me, taxpayer, are going to bail out essentially another Solyndra that's as big as a state. And it's actually probably in worse condition, except Solyndra, I think, has gone under completely. That was a Democrat program, and Puerto Rico is another one. Washington, D.C., they want to, that's the politics stuff. All the things you outlined are probably legitimately the reasons people are using to push this up. When you have muni bonds, it's important to look at whether or not they're general obligations or if they're revenue bonds, and you have to look at the credit rating of those underneath. But generally, assuming the economy is going to recover, these municipalities would be in better shape. They raise taxes. That's also a reason for having municipal bonds, because the muni rate will become much more attractive on an after-tax basis. So that's a good question and a good inquiry, Gene. You've done a lot of homework on it, and I compliment you on the thoughtfulness of your questions. We've got Guy in Port Orchard who has a question too. So Guy, you're on the air.
Hey, Don. Appreciate the call. Hey, or the time. My wife was really interested in Pinterest, so she asked me the other day if this was a worthwhile investment to try going after a single stock or just entering into individual trading. And we looked at the initial IPO of $10 about a year ago, and I forget where it's sitting at now, but it looked like it had a pretty darn good year. And I'm guessing it's that same idea that, with the COVID isolation, people were actively involved in it, got an interest in the company, and so they chose to invest, not unlike the Revenge of the Nerds. So What are your thoughts on it? Do you think it's something that could continue to grow? Would it do the old 1990s Microsoft issue of grow and split, or has it run its course?
Do you have any idea, Perry? Because I have no clue.
Well, Pinterest is it's a growing concern. It is they have a strong online presence, and they have lots of a large user base, and a lot of times that is enough to keep things percolating, because they run ads, and the advertising pays for the operation. As far as Pinterest long term outlook, I don't know. I've never really analyzed Pinterest. It's just right now it's doing well. It's just kind of, I just brought up the chart. It's kind of just broken out on increasing volume, so people are looking at it. So short term, it's fine. Anything that's online and anything that is driven mostly by a user base, you have to stay on top of it all the time, because the internet is so fickle. Things change so quickly. And, everybody's on Facebook, and then, only your grandparents are on Facebook. We've all moved on. You know, everybody's on Instagram now. So you got to keep up with that. And Instagram's probably too old now, too. Now I'm showing my social media savvy. But Pinterest is in the same boat. Pinterest has plenty a significant user base. They've got lots of content on there. It's just a matter of, if they get leapfrogged, they can disappear just as quickly. So there's I don't see anything. I don't know of anything that's out there that says, hey, stay away from it. It's just that you have to stay on top of anything that is a user based online driven security, because it can disappear so quickly.
I did look it up in Chaikin, sure. And they show that it has a strong trend and the industry is strong.
Yeah.
However, it has really bad financials. It is earning money, but from a technical standpoint and from expert analyst interest, it's also a negative. So they have it, they don't have it as a void, but they have it as a negative below neutral. So it's somewhere between okay, and what are you thinking? It's somewhere between those two categories on the downside. So
sure,
we don't make stock forecasts. I mean, we're trend followers, and we use ETFs as opposed to individual stocks. If you buy anything like that, you are in the business of paying attention to it as opposed to betting that this will be the next Amazon or Microsoft or Google, whatever it happens to be, because Perry just said these are very fickle.
It's definitely proceed with caution. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. That's back to gambling again. So yeah. No, I appreciate the insight. It helps me answer my wife as we have those common discussions, which is, I'm glad she's having a discussion. She's paying attention to the world.
Absolutely. That's a good okay. thing. You're right.
Good for you. Yeah. Thanks for your call, Guy.
Okay. Yep.
Have a great day, great week, and join us. You'll learn more. Get her to watch the webinar here today. And if you can't do that today, register anyway and get the replay link, and that'll give you more for your family discussions on finance, on financial issues anyway. And to register is irradio.com, irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner is a webinar link, couple of clicks, your email, and you will have your free admission ticket to today's webinar, or as often as you want to watch the replay. And I say that because I look at the people who do watch the replay. I mean, I check on it once in a while.
Sure.
And people do come back and watch it more than once. And I don't know if maybe we didn't make things clear.
No. It makes us feel good. Yeah, it's like, hey, that was interesting. Let's see that again. So hopefully we're clear enough. But if you do need to clear things up, that's a good way to do it. Just go watch it again.
So before we took those calls, we were talking about GameStop, and there were companies that made money. There were companies that lost a ton. Melvin Capital, right?
They
wanted to put a squeeze on Wall Street. The small guys did do that, but there were other hedge funds that had been looking at this and had interviewed the company's CEO and said, you know, if he can hold out long enough for this next generation of game consoles, he's going to make a lot of money. So while Melvin Capital was shorting the stock, these other hedge funds were buying the stock. And once it started going up, they started adding more shares. So it wasn't just the little guys that were beating down the big money. Some of the big guys, it was like a football game. Hey, this is my game. No, it's not. It's my game. Hey, yeah. No, this is my game. You know, it's, let's see who is the strongest here. And some of them made really big money.
They did. The GameStop was not a great company, but it was a turnaround target. It's one of those that, if you know, they've been around since the 90s, and now they're talking about, so they have a strong user base also, and now they're talking about, well, hey, let's get online, let's move this onto the internet, and if they did that, it would be a much more valuable company. So some hedge funds were looking at that and saying, hey, we should go long GameStop, and they did. So you know, as the smoke settles, we find out there was big money on both sides in GameStop. It just wasn't the hedge fund shorting and the little guys buying long. There were hedge funds that had significant positions in GameStop.
Break time,
which is good to know. We are at the bottom of the hour. Again, this morning we have our monthly update, market update webinar right after the show. You can register for that at iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. And if you're not getting our weekly email newsletter, the Week in Review, you can sign up for that. Just send us an email at help@iriradio.com. Put Week in Review in the subject line, and we need your first and last name, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. It's a really good look at what's going on out there, and things are changing fast these days, so it never hurts to have another set of eyes out there looking at what's going on. If you'd like to talk to us this morning, we'd be more than happy to talk to you. Give us a call at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, just like Guy, who called from Port Orchard about Pinterest, what the point that he really is illustrating is that it doesn't matter what you're buying. You need to do a little investigation there. And the Pink Panther is all about investigating. However, they were investigating things that didn't make a lot of sense, which made it a funny movie. But one of the things that is no longer a question about and needs to be investigated is that for all of us who either love or hate Amazon, Jeff Bezos is going bye-bye.
How about that?
Now, he's not going bye-bye completely, but he is going bye-bye to allow for probably some more freedom or creative thought. He's stepping down from his CEO position to become executive chairman, which means he's not completely gone, but he will have time to do some other things. And Mr. Jesse, who's been with the company a long time, is going to be the new CEO. We have a call from Mike in Gig Harbor. Mike, you're on the air with Don Creech and Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was wondering if you could explain to me the term accredited investor. I hear it now and then, and I'm just wondering, what does that mean, and how do you qualify? My understanding is you have to be, I believe it's like you have to have a net worth of at least $1 million or investable assets worth at least $1 million. I kind of heard it both ways. I was wondering what it means. How do you qualify? And what?
Well, that's it. Yeah, man, you just described it. There is an, I don't know what the current income is, but there is an income qualification. It's usually,
I think it's 200,000 right
200,
now.
200, that's the
300,
number.
300 for joint, 300,000 per year.
So the issue is we're doing a transaction which has substantial risk, which we are trying to mitigate in a 50-page document of disclosures and or something like that. And you are only participated in this, or allowed to participate, because as an accredited investor, if you lose your money, it's not going to hurt you.
That's the theory anyway. it still hurts, but that will allow you to get into investments that are not listed with the SEC. So they are potentially riskier. And there are other ways to be accredited. I know if you have If you have a business development company that's worth over $5 million, then the company is an accredited investor. So there's a little more to it, but that's essentially it. They want to make sure you have enough money that if you lost whatever your investment was, you're not going to be on the street the next day.
It also usually means it's not liquid. So if you need to sell it to get your money back, you are tied up until certain conditions are available. And I mean, who knows when that's going to happen? So this is money that you can afford to lose, do not need to maintain income or your financial security.
And if you're looking at wanting to use that does mean you're buying an unregistered security, and so there's more risk there because they can be more opaque. They don't have to do all the disclosures for the SEC to be a listed security. So you really need to do your homework on what it is that's being offered.
And so it's not just a net worth qualification; it's also an income qualification. Or
no, they're usually separate. They're often separated. It's either or. You're accredited from net worth. You're accredited from income. But requiring that means, one, there are not a lot of people who are going to be in the deal. The general partner or whoever the controlling sponsor is has a great deal more control. And if you want out, you're at their mercy and discount. So it's money that you don't need. That's what you should be dealing with, assuming that you meet the conditions. Good. We don't deal with those.
Even if you just barely qualify, you may want to stay away because, you might have $1 million.
The bottom line is, you're assuming all the risk. Yeah, you're assuming all the risk in that investment. If it goes away, there's no one to complain to. It's just that, oop, that didn't work.
Got it. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. They may be great ideas, and that's usually how they're sold. Look what a deal I have for you, and it's so special. We're only letting 35 people in here, and you might be one of them. Yep, you might be one of them. Just like Melvin Capital was on GameStop.
Yay.
One of the things that has happened in the market, we saw this happen last November, when the market had been moving sideways for several months, and all of a sudden, with the warp speed bringing vaccines to the forefront and getting approval, the market took off, and large caps were getting attention again. Well, they're not so much in the headlines anymore, because the small companies that looked like they were laggards, you're not doing well. As far as returns are concerned, they have become the winners. And if you watched our January webinar and we walked through the changes in our 401k plan, what you saw was the shift to small caps, small capitalization companies, as their momentum, as their activity continue to pick up. And that is going on again. The large companies, Amazon, Netflix, Nvidia, names people know, they're on a performance basis in the recent market. There's other places to be. It's called sector rotation.
Sure. When COVID hit, the small business sector is the one that really got pounded the hardest. You know, the bigger you were, the more money you had in store, the better you were able to weather this storm. So the small cap sector really got pounded. So it makes sense that when it looks like we're beginning to see the end of the COVID economy, small cap's going to be where it picks up. That's where it got pushed down the most. And so that's where things are going to ignite. And that's what's happening right now. That's why the small cap is catching up. And it's kept catching up rapidly. There's a lot of growth out there in the small cap sector. And large cap has stagnated a bit, which also is understandable after the enormous run up the very top of the large cap has had over the past year. Anyway, it can't continue on that pace forever either.
Well, government did its best to put its big foot on top of small companies, and the big ones, they said, well, you're big and you donate large amounts of money to our party, we're going to let you stay open. And your little competitors that have been nipping at your heels, yeah, they don't donate much, so we'll close them down.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Yeah, so part of the resurrection here of these small companies is that it looks like there's finally some fairness being allowed back into the system by lifting the restrictions on the operations of these smaller firms. In fact, we're going to address some of that change and how it's affected our portfolios in today's webinar. And you can register for that at iriradio.com, lower left corner, and you will, a couple of clicks, email, and you will be set to participate today or receive a replay link once the video has been processed by GoToWebinar. Anyway, it is a shift that is going on, and one of the things that what we see here is that size really does matter in your portfolio, and often portfolios are structured in such a way that, well, we don't know what's going to do really well for a while, so we'll buy some large companies and we'll buy some small companies because they rotate around, and we'll buy some growth companies and we'll buy some value companies and we'll buy some tech and we'll buy some healthcare and we'll buy some staples. What you end up with is a potpourri of the stock market based on the way you answered some risk questions, which has absolutely nothing to do with how the market is working in this economy. You're just assuming that it'll all average out. What you don't usually realize is that for the averages to work, you may need to live another 50 years before you use your money. And that's not what most people have in mind when they contact a financial advisor or get on a financial website and say, what should be in my portfolio? Well, we think that's a bad process. One, because we have used it and found that particularly in bear markets, there's nothing there to support the theory about protecting your capital or reducing risk. Under the theory, you want to reduce your risk? Don't buy stocks. That avoids risk.
And return.
And return.
You're
talking about risk management. How much are you willing to lose? I don't want to lose anything.
And that's the problem. That's one of the big questions on those risk return questionnaires. How much are you willing to lose? And then, the question really is, tell us what your pain threshold is, because we're going to deliver it. As much pain as you can handle, that's going to show up on your doorstep with the way we do business. And outside of that, we're not going to do much about it. That's the downside. There's not going to be any changes made. Like I said, Don, there's not going to be any changes made. You filled out the questionnaire. It's going to stay there until you change your answers. So that's really all there for the firm handing it out. It makes it really easy for them. It's not necessarily a good idea for the investor. That's why we abandon that whole process. We don't like the way that works. This should work in favor of the investor, not in favor of the firm. That's the whole idea. That's why you hire someone to watch out for your portfolio, is because you want that to grow into the future. And instead, you're getting somebody handing you a pie chart that's saying, well, this will keep us off the hook. Let's hope it works out for you, but we don't really have any idea. It's not good.
One of the ways that it's not just us. I mean, there's a financial theory about building your portfolio by buying stocks that have hit a new high. And we'll talk about that when we get back from this break.
Very good. Let's get out. We have a last break of the morning here. You still have plenty of time to talk to us this morning. If you have questions about your portfolio or anything else going on out there, give us a call this morning at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. And right after the show today at 9:15, we're going to have our monthly market update online in webinar format. And you can sign up for that at iriradio.com. Just go to iriradio.com, click on the webinar page, and just a couple of clicks, you're going to get an email back. And after the show, you just click on that link, and you will be live online with us, and you'll be able to see our screens. We're going to walk you through some information about what's going on in the market today, what we've done to protect client portfolios during the recent volatility, and then we're going to have plenty of time to get to your questions. In fact, we take all the time we need to get to your questions about anything at all, anything about the market, anything about the economy in general, or specific tickers that you have in mind that you want to get a second opinion on. It's a good time to do that. Go to IRIradio.com to register. There's still plenty of time. In the meantime, again, if you have a question for us this morning, it's 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We will be right back.
The Lone Ranger
rides again, and he actually needs to. There are apparently quite a few investors who do need to be rescued. We've talked about the Reddit investors earlier in the show. Several times, actually, we've referred to them around the GameStop. And there's a lot of other stocks. AMC Theaters. Actually, AMC Theaters were smart. When they saw their stock going up, there's no restriction on them selling their own stock. And it instead of buying back their stock, they were selling their stock and raising money. And that's what a good CFO, CEO should be doing instead of what all these companies that are now asking for government handouts were doing in the last couple of years to raise the bonuses for the executives. Let's buy our stock back and keep pumping the price up because we'll get paid more. Well, and now the market's in the tank and they're going to the government saying, hey, you don't want us to go out of business, do you? And look at all the layoffs that's going to have. Bail us out for mismanaging our money. Yeah, well, that shouldn't happen. I mean, that's that is cronyism, and it's bad management. Those Indeed. Companies should be allowed to deal with their problem in bankruptcy court, clean up their act, and learn a lesson like they want us to learn when the stock goes down. We have a question from Ed in Linwood about lithium. Ed, you're on the line with Don and Perry.
Pardon me. You do a great service. Thank you.
Thank you.
Easy question. Lithium. You use it to make batteries. Think of the size of the battery it's going to take to run a ferry.
Okay, well, you've got a great question. We've actually been owners of lithium in our portfolios. We did take some profits on them, but the lithium development is going to be very large. But it's going to be a long time, I think, before lithium batteries are running the state ferries. They don't do a real good job of updating the equipment. But as much as there is an argument about lithium batteries are going to be the energy source for all sorts of transportation, energy as we know it, oil and natural gas, is not going away anytime soon because the technology for battery run vehicles and stuff, while it's in its early stages, there's no way to actually support recharging the stuff efficiently yet. Yeah, we do watch it. We have owned assets in our portfolios that have either been direct lithium investments or they're indirect through other areas of the clean energy.
But just like everything else out there, Ed, lithium, while it may have a great long-term story, over the long run, there's going to be good times to own it and bad times to own it. And that's what you need to pay attention to. You know, where is it right now? We owned some lithium positions earlier this year, and we don't right now. So there's, you know, it's just like every other asset out there. It's not, we don't have anything that we just buy and keep forever based on, well, it's got a great story. We think lithium is probably going to have a significant role going forward as things stand today. It's just that doesn't mean that's something you should put in your portfolio and keep it forever.
Now, so we own the ETF, LIT. Is that what you're watching, or are you watching individual companies?
I'm not watching anybody in particular at this moment. My comment is, if we're going to have oodles and oodles more cars having batteries, we're going to need more lithium. Where are we going to get the energy to feed all these batteries? I have no idea. There's energy available at night if you have a fuel system that is gas generating electricity, but daylight is initially? And second is, how are they going to charge all these batteries?
Both good questions.
You're a very smart observer, and that is the problem, particularly in California. They do not have a grid that will support all of that. They can't support the current use of refrigerators, freezers, and air conditioners with their electric grid. And if you put the cars on the road on demanding the electricity, the problem is just simply amplified. And using the desert with solar panels is not making sufficient gain. That's a great question, Ed. Thanks for calling. We need to move on here. One of the things that we started with just as Ed was calling is that there's a new definition of high in the market. I mean, as I said before we took Ed's call, that in momentum trading, this is a process in financial class that you learn about, that a company that hits a new high probably is going to hit another new high. So the fact that you wait until a company hits a high to buy it does not mean that that's the end of the cycle. Now, it may be. I mean, you have to pay attention.
It's always possible, sure.
You can get whipsawed in anything you trade. People buy stuff because they think it's going to go up and make them money, and sometimes it just turns right around and falls flat very rapidly, in which case, if you're not paying attention, like the Pinterest issue from Guy and Gig Harbor, you're going to get creamed on that deal. But the new issue is that there have been financial studies of people making decisions. And what they have learned is that, and this may apply more to the Reddit traders, that if you are smoking marijuana and you are high, that's not the same as buying high in the stock market in finance class. In fact, it's a bad situation.
And right now, by the way, marijuana issues on the securities exchanges are doing very well, but they're finding that trading while high is not necessarily a good idea. You don't always remember exactly what happened in the correct terms. They're saying that they're starting to really establish that as your memory is not what it should be. So you don't really learn the lessons that you think you are as an investor.
Well, and that's the issue, because when you lose money on a trade, normally you should go back and say, well, what did I do wrong?
What happened there? Right.
Yeah. I don't want to do that again. If I keep repeating that process, it's, the zero balance is the end game. So I've got to learn from that. And when you're high on marijuana, you don't remember the lesson to be learned. You don't even see it.
They did the study, and they said, not only is your short-term memory not as good, long-term memory gets altered also. You actually start to believe the memory that you told yourself while you were still high. And so even when you're not high anymore, you still fall back to that position later, and that can be a problem.
Self-creative memory of the way it should have been.
So the headline of that article is, don't trade when you're high. So it's like, that's probably as far as you need to go. That's probably a good policy right there. So there you go.
In past programs, we've talked about increasing bankruptcies that we expect to see over the next several years. And a lot of companies just simply closed doors. They didn't file bankruptcy. They
Correct.
Shut down. They negotiated their way out of debt obligations. And for last year, bankruptcy court filings declined by almost 30%.
That's amazing.
It is. But a good portion is we negotiated our way out, or the fact that we have these rent extensions and mortgage extensions, we don't have to make payments. The reality of how bad our financial situation is has not come to the forefront to the day of accountability yet. And it appears that the Biden administration is going to extend some of those leniency arrangements even further into 2021.
Try to keep pushing it back, but that doesn't solve the underlying problem. That's the biggest problem with those policies, is that those are going to be dealt with at some point, and it's not going to get any better in the meantime.
Well, business reorganizations in Chapter 11 did increase almost 20%. So there are some there trying to stay alive if they can renegotiate or get some of their debt relief taken care of. But there's a lot more to come in this next year, particularly because neither the Fed nor the government, by doling out money solve the financial problems of families and businesses. Financial relief comes from small businesses being able to operate to create jobs where households have income on their own to spend as they want instead of a, well, this'll tie you over until we kind of, yeah, until we get things straightened out.
Get the economy opened up. That's the key.
Yeah, that's true. And we do have a webinar in about 15, 16, 17 minutes, something like that. If you have not registered, go to iriradio.com. You can join us today, or if not, you will get a replay link. That's iriradio.com. Lower left-hand corner is the webinar. Couple of clicks in your email, and we will be able to show you our business and give you a replay link if you can't stay with us through the next hour. But we're out of time, but we're not going away. We'll be online, Lord willing. We'll be back again next week. Have a great day.